Back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush, he played for keeps. The enemy was all around, didn't Charlie ever sleep? Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back, he was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. He's walking with us on the last patrol.
The Last Patrol Radio Show is a program dedicated to my brothers and sisters who have and to those who are now serving America in the U.S. military, the police and security, firefighters and EMS. This is a Veterans to Veterans ministry. By God's grace, we're here to serve and to help bring the truth to you through the word and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ted Marshall. I served as a dog man, that is a canine handler, in the U.S. Air Force Security Police in the Vietnam War. I know that the bond we as veterans have is very special, and we can talk to each other. This program is for you and your family. Let us ask for guidance from our Lord to inspire and to hear from Him on how much He loves you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The Last Patrol Radio Program is a Talk to Vets ministry, hosting guests from the Christian veterans community and the caring and loving people who bring information, loving gratitude for all of you who are our nation's finest treasure. Here in the home of the brave, you are the brave in that home. You and I have a lot to share on subjects we can learn from. Using the Perfect Operations Planning Manual, the POPM, also known as the Bible. Heart to heart, vet to vet, patriot to patriot, welcome home. The Last Patrol is about realizing that we have a mission that we're being called to. Each of us has a special place in this patrol. We have and are now continuing specialized training for this task and mission. This is a highly motivated and extremely skilled operations team with overpowering strength, courage, and leadership support. The air power as well, the universe knows none is awesome. The ground troops are all in the army of the Lord. We are God's warriors. Who can stand against us? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Walk with us on the Last Patrol.
Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall with the Last Patrol Radio Show. Today we have a special guest here in the home studio here in Zephyr Hills. Pastor David Hutt from Trinity Church, and also Marianne Gifford. Recently, they just came back from a mission to Cuba, and we are so happy that they're here. We've got some exciting stories that they're going to tell us about what happened there on the mission. And first of all, welcome, guys, to our studio.
Thank you. Thank you, Ted.
Welcome to the show, and Veterans Radio Ministry is all about talking about missions everywhere, wherever it happens, and spreading the word of Jesus Christ. We have a country here in Cuba, not too far from Florida, 90 miles from our coast, that for years and years has been shut away from us, where we couldn't send people or have people go and visit. And now we're hopefully that this is changing, that we'll be able to let more and more families reunite. And also this mission is so important. How did you guys, and I understand that Marianne was the one that kind of spearheaded this project. And tell us, if you would, a little bit, Marianne, how this came about and your experiences in doing some of the missions and some of the interesting places you've been that's on your passport.
Yeah, my passport tells it all. I started going on mission trips in 1996 with Josh McDowell. Campus Crusade. I went to Russia. Been to Russia 4 times. Ukraine 18 times. Mexico. I'm actually with the Lakota Indians in South Dakota. But this year, some friends that I've gone on other mission trips with were going to Cuba and invited me to come along. And so I invited Pastor Dave to go with us, and we went for a week to Cuba. It was a great trip. And we were so excited to be able to share Christ in Cuba.
Dave, what did you first think when you were approached and Marianne had that idea for you to go on a mission?
Well, we've talked many times about Marianne's mission trips before, and I've always been envious of the opportunities that came to her, and that she was actually stepping up and making a difference, not just in our local area, but also in different other parts of the world. And so when this came along and she said, would you like to go? It was a dream come true, but the opportunity was there, and I couldn't help but just feel that the Lord was prodding me, was pushing me to make this trip also. And so that's what we did.
How long did you stay? How many days did you stay there?
We were there for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to, through friends that are there in Cuba, we were able to meet a lot of people. And we were able to share the gospel with an awful lot of people. It was great. It was great.
Marianne, the other countries that you've been to, can you tell us a little bit about just some of the other countries? Where have you gone?
Well, my first mission trip was to Russia, and I went fearfully because I didn't know what to expect, and it was, it just changed my heart forever. I'd only become a Christian probably a few years before that, and stepping out in faith was a little bit difficult. But once I got there, I was so blessed that I knew I wanted to come back. As a matter of fact, I cried all the way home from that trip. I'm not wanting to leave. And so I returned again with the same group, and we did street ministry there, sharing with people right on the street, handing out Josh McDowell's More Than a Carpenter and the Gospel of John. Each book was read by, they said, at least 30 people in the. And the most amazing thing was we each had 1,000 books to give away,
mm-hmm.
and there was 300 of us. So there was 300,000 books given away each time we went, and the people would receive the book and sit down and read it right there in front of us. There would just be people everywhere sitting down reading the books, and then handing them on to friends, and it was an amazing trip. And then I went on to Ukraine with Josh McDowell and met a friend who was my interpreter and is now a pastor there. And now I stay with them. And they have, their oldest child is 16, and so I've been going to their home for quite a few years.
How did you decide, or what made you decide to go to Cuba?
I went there once with People to People International as a teacher,
mm-hmm.
special needs, and I really loved going to that country. And when I saw that one of my friends goes there, he invited me to go with them, and I just thought that was a good opportunity to go back. He's a Christian, and he said we would be sharing with other Christians and going to people's homes, and that's what I love to do. And so we were able to not only see some of the sites, but in Havana, but we went to the rural villages where there was dirt floors in the homes. And I love going to the villages, as I do in Ukraine, where there's even horses and carts. And that's what we saw there also, is horses and carts and pedal bikes that have little carts behind them to take the people. And so I like the rural village feel and how the people would just be so hospitable to us. They would give you the shirt off their back, even though they're very, very poor there. We saw many extremely poor people who lived in homes that were maybe 10 by 15 feet, just enough for a bed and a sink, and many were living in that condition.
Now, I understand on your trip that you were invited by families to come into their homes and talk to them.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
How did that feel to walk in these folks' homes and know that some of those, this was probably the first time they've ever seen a pastor from America?
Many people, not only just a pastor from America, but many of the people are meeting an American for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And to be invited into their homes was very special. They are very hospitable. I don't think I've ever been kissed so many times in my life, because it is the normal greeting. And here it is, someone they have never met before, and you walk into their home and you get, you know, one or two kisses on the cheek and a welcome. And the doors were thrown open wide for us. You know, the friends that took us into these homes, of course, they had said that there is an American coming who would like to share the gospel with you. And what I found was a people who were not only extremely hospitable, but there was a hunger there for the gospel. And I met no one who was, what do I say, in our American terms, I met no one who was offended by us sharing the gospel. They were very open to it. They were very receptive of it. And they wanted to know more. And it was, so, Ted, I got to tell you, you know, a lot of people go on mission trips and they go and they do wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
They build schools, they build, they have different projects that they are going to work on. The only reason that we went was to share the gospel. And I can honestly say, and being in ministry for 14, 15 years, that this opportunity changed my life. It really did. It made me realize that the church, that there is something different for the church. It's not just being about us. It's not about maybe many of the things that people think as a church is supposed to be about. The church itself, if it isn't about ministry, if it isn't about missions, then somewhere along the line we're missing the boat. And this opened the door and opened my eyes to an opportunity that God gave us as a church to really be able to reach out and to make a difference. And it all comes through missions.
What's unusual about this mission is what you said about it wasn't there to go build something. It wasn't there to go to bring food for it. Or, well, special kind of food.
It wasn't a
Martha Mary situation where we're just busy. Mm-hmm. It was going directly to the hearts of the people. And what a concept, huh?
Well, we were there to build something. We were to help build the kingdom of God, which I think we were able to add quite a few.
And they have home churches there, too. They, mm-hmm. they don't build a lot of new churches at all. But when they get enough people, they start churches in their homes. And that's one of their goals for Christ, for Cuba, is to build more home churches. And the people are just so open and so willing. As Dave said, they're hungry for Christ. I know I just have to tell this story. The first house I went into, I went through the plan of salvation and shared about Jesus Christ. And I said, is there any reason that you wouldn't want to accept Christ today? And they said, no. And I said, now you know this is a really serious, serious decision. And they said, we don't, come on, we want to do it. Give us Jesus. I just wanted them to know it was something very important they need to think about, but they were already ready, and they bring me to learning a little bit more about it. And so it was exciting to see their enthusiasm about becoming a Christian. And one older couple, I was in this very, very small home, and there was a couple visiting, and all four received Christ, and they were older people like me. And one couple had been married 56 years, and he was so excited when we walked out. He started jumping up and down, and I just smiled, and he said, I'm jumping for Jesus. I'm just so excited. So we saw that kind of enthusiasm sometimes. And sometimes we would just see their eyes well up with tears when we talked about someone that's going to forgive their sins. You could just see they've been struggling with that, and they just cried with us, and we cried with them, and we laughed with them, and we felt their pain. And that's part of being a missionary, a short-term missionary, is the empathy part, just feeling with their heart, too.
When they invited you into their home, they knew what they wanted. They knew that you had something that they needed, and something that they had waited a long time for.
In some cases, yeah, that is. They knew that we were coming to share the gospel. Some people, of course, didn't accept Christ. They were being hospitable. And allowed us in. One of the things that we ran up against is there are a lot of people there who are follow Santeria, Satan worship. A lot of people worship idols, and even though they knew that we would be coming to share the gospel with them, they were interested in hearing about the gospel. Some people, you know, they changed. They threw out idols because they knew that there was something different. But others were just, they were hospitable, but they were locked into the worship that they had, you know, which would be a satanic worship. But even at that, they were so hospitable to us and willing to listen.
Tell us about a typical day. What started out, and how long did you go? You know, things that you saw. Just give us a typical day.
Well, we stayed in hotels, got up and had breakfast, and then we joined our friends that we went with, and they took us to the friends that they had there in Cuba. And we would walk the streets of these rural towns. The streets were dark red dirt. It was very dusty, very potholed, like lots and lots of dogs coming and going, but none of them growled at me at all. I even saw dogs on the roof, and they said that's where they put them when they leave, so they don't run away. That was interesting.
Even the dogs were hospitable.
That's true. And then we, our friends had certain people they wanted us to share with, and we might walk many blocks down the road. And we would come to the homes. All the doors were open, and all the homes, all the windows were always open. And as we went in, there could be chickens that would walk through. There would be neighbors that would walk through. But as Pastor Dave said, we were always greeted with kisses on the cheek. Even if someone walked in the home and was going to go right out, they would come over and give us a kiss, which I thought was very cool. Go ahead.
A typical day.
Yes.
Okay, I had actually every day that we started out, and we, as Mary Ann said, we'd have breakfast. We'd be on the road many mornings by 8:30, and we would work a lot of times from till 5:30, 6 o'clock at mm-hmm. night, a break for lunch, and all. But in everything in between, we were able to go to people's homes, as we said. We were able to sit down with people and to be able to share with them. You know, there was one particular day that I have to tell you about, because this was a day that, well, I don't want to limit God, because I'll tell you, there wasn't a day that we worked that we didn't see God doing some tremendous things, changing hearts, changing lives. It was definitely a walk with the Lord. But I will tell you this one special day, and this is a day that, you know, when I tell you this, because if we did this, we had this talk here 10 years from now, this would still be a day that sticks out in my mind, because I've seen God do some wondrous things. But my goodness, this was incredible. I went to the home of a man who was dying of cancer, and I walked into the room. It was a 10-by-10 room, and he was there in his hospital bed, and I was there with my translator, and I knew the condition that the man was in, and his family had told me that ahead of time, he doesn't know that he's dying of cancer. And I thought, well, how can he not know? Especially when he talked about the pain that he was in. And so I shared the gospel with him, and I sat next to his bed and shared the gospel and took him by the hand. And I gotta admit, there was a connection there between the two of us. I just felt so connected to him. And as I came to a point of asking if there was anything that he could do that would, or that there was any reason that he couldn't accept Christ that day, he said, yeah. He says, I hurt. And if I want God to do anything, I want God to relieve some of this pain and to just give me some peace. And I explained to him that we live in a fallen world, that there is pain, there is suffering, there is death, but that God didn't spare his own son who came to this earth and was amongst us and went to the cross and died on that cross for the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus Christ knew the pain. And he said, I appreciate your sincerity. I really do. But I just need God to relieve this pain. So I said, well, is it okay if I just pray for you? And he agreed with that, and I prayed that God would heal him. I prayed that God would remove the pain, and that he would feel God's presence in his life. And I was done. I, you know, gave him a kiss on the forehead, and I was going to leave. Mm-hmm. And I had a little black book with me. The black book was there to write down the names of people that I was talking to, because, well, number one, I have a lousy memory. And so I right next to his name, I wrote down no, that he had refused to accept the Lord. And I picked up my backpack and I turned towards the door to leave. And as I did, there was a woman who was standing in the doorway. And she said, I saw you and your friend walking out in the road, and I knew you were Christians, and I'd like to hear about this Jesus. So I just turned my chair to the side, and we sat down, and I shared the gospel. I shared Christ with her, and she said she would like to accept Christ as her Savior. And so we prayed a sinner's prayer. And the way that went, a prayer of forgiveness, a prayer of asking Christ to come into your life. And the way it would work is I would pray it, and then my interpreter would repeat it, And then that person who was accepting Christ would repeat those same words. And as I prayed that prayer, and my interpreter repeated it, and she accepted Christ, that's when I heard the man who I had talked to originally praying that prayer also. And so he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, I mean, I was amazed at what was going on there. And I reached over and I gave her a hug, and I hugged the man that was there that who had refused Christ before. And he looked at me and he said, "I don't hurt anymore." And I went, "Well, that's God." You know, and I don't know if God, you know, healed him from cancer. I don't know, because I'm not a doctor and I'm not there and I'm not sure. But I do know that he felt God's presence, and I know that God took his pain away. And I opened up my black book and I crossed out no, and I wrote down yes. And my interpreter saw that and he said, "You wrote no." And I said, "Yes, I did. That's because there was nothing I could do to change that situation, but God did." And I have seen God do wondrous things. I really have. When you're in ministry, sooner or later, you're gonna witness God doing something that you have to make sure that you don't take credit for, because it is nothing but God. It is Him all the way. And that was one of those days. I had to give up. I had to get out of the way and allow God to be God. And he did that. And not only did he get this man to accept him as Lord and Savior, but he got a young lady from that same road, a neighbor, mm-hmm. to accept him too at the same time. He's much better than we are at this.
That's how our trip went. It was seeing God over and over in different houses and different villages and several different villages, and the hearts were the same. Many were just waiting for somebody to bring the subject up. And many times here in the United States, we're afraid that we'll be rejected if we bring Jesus Christ into the conversation. And we need to be bold as Christians, because you don't know who's hurting. You need that empathy to come alongside them, to share the gospel with people. And many, many times, perhaps they will be offended, but many are just waiting for somebody to share Jesus Christ with them. They've been waiting. What if nobody ever came to them? I think it's our job, as Jesus told his disciples, to go out into the world and preach the gospel. It's our job to share here, in the United States, and to share whenever we get opportunities to travel to other countries where we know they're going to be accepted, and people are waiting to hear. They're waiting to hear about Jesus. We also have our ministry here in the park in our town, and we share with people down there the gospel of Jesus Christ. We share food with them. We share clothing, bicycles, and our love with them. And people are responding because we love them. Jesus said to love our neighbor as ourselves. And our neighbor looks a little bit different sometimes, no matter where we go. We just need to be obedient to his word and to share wherever we are.
I remember as we were in Cuba, we had only been there a day, I think a day. And in that time, I started seeing God do, you know, wondrous things. But then it came to me, and that had to be my prayer at the time. You know, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? This isn't just a one-time be here for a week and then go home and just forget about it. God doesn't work that way. I believe that when he shows you something, when he shows you his power, his love, as he did there. It isn't just for my benefit. It isn't just only for the benefit of those who are accepting Christ, but that God shows you things that, such as this, as this mission trip, and then he makes you ask, what am I going to do with this? This is more than just a 1 week happening. And that was what struck me after about a day or a day and a half into the trip. What am I going to do with this? And, you know, sometimes you don't always get the answer. Mm-hmm. And you don't get it right then. And that it is a prayer. I know that there will be more trips, obviously. But I believe that because of what this trip did in my life, that is something that I would really like to be able to share with others. I think that when people have the opportunity to share the gospel, when they're put into a situation where they can share the gospel, touch a life, watch that life change right before your eyes, that it takes that initial fear that we have that we're not able to share the gospel, because I know many Christians are very apprehensive about sharing the gospel. They're afraid of rejection. They're afraid that they're going to offend somebody. But being on a mission trip where that is expected, that where you go, you're going to be sharing the gospel. That shows you that the fear that Christians have in being able to share the gospel is an unfounded fear. It is, I believe that is something that Satan plants in us, that puts that fear in us, and we're afraid to share the gospel. And as Marianne said, there are people in this country who they really need to do is to hear it, is to hear the gospel. I've heard tell that there are countries who send missionaries here. And because we have turned away from God, and here we are, we have freedom of religion here, and we're afraid to share the gospel.
That's such an important point. I heard this a couple of years ago, too. I actually talked to a man that was from South America and was here as a missionary to America. And I was just shocked.
What?
He says, yeah, we're here. Our church sent us here because your country needs to hear the truth.
Does that?
It kind of took my breath away. We've stopped that far where missionaries are coming here. Yeah, it's true. We do need to hear the truth. And I'm glad that you had this experience, because you went into a country which was totally against, for years, communist country. Mm-hmm. That's totally against this type of information being shared.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here we find in America that we're afraid to share it. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
Mm-hmm. I think there's another mission coming up here soon. It's called Mission USA.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, we have all our needs met here, mm-hmm. too. And I don't think we're as open to God when we have all our needs met.
We think we have all our needs
met. We think.
Yeah, right. We think.
Right. We have our money.
Carnal needs are being met.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So people that live very humbly, their hearts are open spiritually, I think, more than perhaps like the rich man in the Bible. We had everything that he wanted, and we could ask for more.
Yeah. We think that we're afraid to share the gospel. I think that if more people understood what we have, the church, if the church understood what our purpose is, to share the gospel, to make disciples. But if people would look at the gospel of Christ, these are Christians that I'm speaking of, to understand that we have the answer. We have the answer to life.
Mm-hmm.
we have the answer to eternity, and then not to share that. I think that's where the church falls down.
I think so too.
When it becomes about a closed group of people inside a church have done that are interested in just themselves and not in sharing the gospel.
And not having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And many people come and go to church for that hour of the week, and they don't have that relationship, that pouring their hearts out during the week and talking to God and reading it, and wonder why he doesn't speak to them, because they don't allow the time to spend with him.
We have all kinds of different things that we've been discussing before the radio broadcast, before the recording. And one of the things that we want to talk about is, what are you looking for in the way of future missions?
Well, as I mentioned before, Ted, about, you know, what is it that God was showing me? What am I supposed to do with this? And one of the things that I do believe that we are supposed to do is to not just make this Cuba trip the only trip that we go on. And I believe that what is in the works, we don't have any final dates yet or anything, but there is a desire that next year we're going to do this again. We are going to go again.
Good.
And so what, because of the effect that this had on me, I know that another mission trip, with people who have never been on a mission trip before, I know that that would change their lives. And so what I've done so far is I've talked to a number of people at Trinity Church about the possibility of joining us next year. Hopefully, I'm hoping for an early next year for another trip to Cuba. And so far, the interest is there. I would love to be able to share this with people. I really would. And I believe that is one of the things that God is leading us toward, to, you know, get out of our own backyard and to see what is possible out there. We've been kicking this around for a while as far as how to do this, how to go about it. I know that the trip itself can be an expensive trip, and so we've been trying to figure out ways of raising funds to be able to make these trips possible. We would like to do fundraisers, and I know that there are people in the church, or there's people out there who are listening to this that would like to be able to go on a mission trip, but they're not able to. And so for those folks, if they wanted to be able to give a donation to be able to send someone on a mission trip, that would be deeply appreciated.
Can you give us some information about Trinity Church? How can they reach it? And if you would, Mary Ann.
Yes. Our whole long name is Trinity Church of Wesley Chapel. If you go to our website, it is trinitychurchnow.com, and that same name can get you to our Facebook page. I put something on our Facebook page every day, and sometimes more than one thing. So if you want an inspirational message every day, go to Trinity Church Now and Facebook, and you will receive that, like us there, and you will receive that every day. It will also give you upcoming events that are happening at Trinity, plus our mission trip when we start that process of, we know the date of what's happening there.
Yeah, we have some more information how to reach Trinity Church. And
yes, our address is for Trinity Church of Wesley Chapel, 33425 State Road 54 in Wesley Chapel. The zip on that is 33543. Phone number is 813-788-2898.
this is going to be a unique year coming up.
It is.
I see the Lord is moving in extremely fast ways, and he's also he's helping those that hear him reach those that need to hear through our radio ministries and through our partnering with Trinity Church, and be able to get the word out of what a church is planning when it comes to missions, being able to reach other folks. And I'm asking now that those that are listening to us, help out when you can. Help Trinity Church do this important mission work. Now, this is not building homes. It's not drilling oil wells or water wells. It's not distributing thousands and thousands of things of food, but it's bringing a very unique food, and that is the food of life from the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a country and to a people that are desperate for it. And for many years that's been something they could not get. What an opportunity to serve. What an opportunity to step out and serve. I want to thank you guys. I know it's not simple to do this, and it's not sometimes I can't say that it's not safe sometimes, because you never know what's going to happen. If one of you guys were to get sick or hurt or it's not, there's no 911, I don't believe, in Cuba, is there?
I don't believe there is.
But any time that missionaries and missionaries go out, there is a risk. But the cover of the Lord needs to be with them. And we sure want to bless you for all that you're doing and for all that's coming up ahead of time. And, well, thank you. Go ahead.
I'm fine. It's just, it's the opportunity.
Yes.
It's the opportunity to actually to follow Christ's words in going out to share the gospel. And that needs to be what our mission is in the church today, to be able to reach out, to share Jesus Christ with others, those who have not heard. And hopefully through that, will we not only be helping others who are in another land that haven't been able to hear about Jesus Christ, being able to share it there, but also to be able to share Christ with our neighbors right here in the United States. And because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He's not the Lord of only the United States or of Cuba or of any other country. He is Lord of all. And it is our responsibility to be able to share him.
And I think one other thought I have is, when you go to another country and you share Christ with people multiple times each day, it gives you more of a boldness. It gives you more confidence in sharing your faith. So when you come home, I think you're more eager to go out into your community. You're more eager to share your faith with other people. That gives you that confidence. And even if they say no, thank you, that's fine. Go on to the next person. There's people there that need the Lord, that want the Lord, that are waiting for us to come and share.
I like that idea about the boldness. You're building up. You know what it's like when you're at a mission or you're far away from home, where you can be rejected, and you're gonna come up with that. But coming back here in America, we're so concerned about what's people gonna think about this, and how am I supposed to feel if other people around me and I get rejected? Are people gonna say, well, he's not that powerful. His word's not getting out. We let all these other things fill our head with this nonsense. The Lord wants us to be bold. He wants us to step out. He wants us to go in the areas, walk on that water, trust, trust. It's deep. Sure, it's deep. But if you're walking with Jesus Christ, you can walk through anything. Mm-hmm. You got to be bold. We got to get that message out, because there's so much of an adversary out there that's against us, that's not want this message to be told. Every avenue that we can use to get that word out, we need to take advantage of. Believe me, the adversary is taking advantage of everything. Mm-hmm. Look what he's done to our TV. Look what he's done to our music. Look what he's done to our movies, our entertainment. It's completely, you know, it's completely poisoned. And the only way that we can clear that well out and unpoison it is to flush it and put in the pure water to replace it.
That's true.
That's right. And it's a choice that we make every day.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a one-time choice and saying, well, I'm going to Cuba and that's it. It's a choice we make every day to choose to follow Jesus Christ, to choose to share our faith, to choose to do the right thing. And we just hope that we can encourage people to make the right choices.
Thank you guys so much. We have just a few minutes before we have to say goodbye. But I just wanted to, if you would join me in prayer. Lord, this show, we're dedicating words to all those that are out there on that front line, on those mission trips that are out there and bringing the truth of the life and the true word and the good news of the gospel out there. We thank you, Lord, that we get these opportunities. They're very rare that they can come by and be able to actually go places where people have not heard the word. Also, Lord, we're asking for boldness to be able to step here where people have heard the word but have ignored it. And I've heard so many times that the word has been twisted and turned into something it's not, that we will have that same boldness and be fortified from those mission trips that when they come back, that they're fortified, that they can face and talk to anybody and not be ashamed or be timid about standing tall and standing in the word of the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Dave Huff, Mary Ann Gifford. Thank you so much for what you've done. And I know that the Lord's hand is here to move and to give you strength to step into places where you may feel uncomfortable, but give you that boldness and that cover to do that. I say this in the name of the Lord Almighty, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ted.
Guys, it's been wonderful to have you here at the show. We've got a chance to talk about a lot of different things. And I would like that any time that you want to come back, anytime, you're more than welcome. If something's on your heart and you think it needs to be shared, you've got a voice here. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Appreciate you so much.
Come and listen in to the radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. And listen to the music in the Hosanna's roll. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Get a little taste of joy awaiting. Get a little heaven in your soul. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on. Heaven's glory share. Turn your radio on, turn your radio on. touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on and glory share. Turn the lights down low and listen to the Master's radio. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on.
Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Thanks again for listening to the Last Patrol Radio Show. Today has been a very special day. We were able to have some great guests come in, and we ask you to have patience with us. Sometimes we have some problems with technical issues, with volume issues, but we're working on it, folks. We're working on it as diligently as we can, and we hope that you too can get a chance to listen to the Last Patrol. Listen to the Veterans Radio Ministry, and as we go on, we hope to get better and better and better when it comes to the technical issues. And we have an awesome God, and I praise Him every day for what He's doing in our life, especially in this ministry. He's given us an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and we want to open our arms to all that are out there that would like to participate and be part of this. Would like to offer for those veterans out there, for their families, for those caretakers that take care of them. We understand that there's a lot of folks out there that really do care and support, and a lot of patriotic people that do love our country, and they do love the folks that have stood for this country and wore the uniform, and those that are today standing and wearing the uniform, not only of the police, firefighters, EMS, and military, but those first responders, those that are there, the rescue workers, the ones that are there to care and comfort, the chaplains that are out there on that front line. We have a whole army that is out there working to serve mankind and serve our country. And they need to have cover. They need to have strong prayers of strength and safety, and above all, they need to know that there is a Lord that protects, loves, and cherishes them, and that's Jesus Christ. I want to just give a reminder of something that's coming up. It comes up every year about this time, and this happens in Melbourne, Florida. This is the nation's largest veterans reunion. And this will be Florida's 31st annual Veterans and All Veterans Reunion. This is put on by Vietnam and All Veterans of Brevard County, Florida. It's in Melbourne, Florida. It's at a beautiful park called Wickham Park. It's a huge park. It's got two big lakes on it. It has campgrounds. It has a natural amphitheater. It has a great ground areas for vendors. It also has the moving Vietnam Wall will be there, all kinds of different static displays, and this is an absolutely must-see event. The event starts in April 19th through April 22nd. If you'd like to have more information about the Florida's 31st Annual Vietnam and All Veterans Reunion, it's easy. Just go to veteransreunion.com. It's a Vietnam and All Veterans Reunion in Florida, in Melbourne, Florida. And also, there's some contact information for you here also. If you'd like to be a vendor, you can contact and call for information at area code 321-408-2698. Or else you can also call 321-652-4185. And tell them that Ted Marshall from The Last Patrol sent you. You'll enjoy this event. It's absolutely spectacular. And this is probably marking my 26th, I guess, year that I've been going to this event. Live music, food and beverages, and military vendors, military displays, POW MIA ceremonies, The Last Patrol, and the moving tribute wall. You can also, the wall will be escorted there on April 15th and leaves at 10 a.m. from Florida, from Eastern Florida State College on the Cocoa Beach campus, and drives on down to Melbourne to the Wickham Park. But if you get a chance, I think you'd really thoroughly enjoy this. It's the Vietnam and All Veterans Reunion. Take a look at it. Just go to Google and Google Vietnam All Veterans Reunion in Melbourne, Florida, and it'll come up with all the information, maps, and every way to get there. And we are so honored to be there again. The Last Patrol group that we belong to will be performing our presentation of The Last Patrol in Vietnam. And we'll be doing that twice on Saturday, once at the Moving Wall, then later that evening, just before all the big bands start happening at the concert there at the Natural Amphitheater. We'll be performing right there in front of everybody on the big amphitheater stage area there, up and down there on the ground. If you haven't seen The Last Patrol, we hope you hope you get a chance to see it. And I'll be the guy with the dog out in front of me. And we hope to see you there. I'd like to close today's broadcast with some words from the late Billy Graham. We've always needed God from the very beginning of this nation, but today we need him especially. We're facing a new kind of enemy. We're involved in a new kind of warfare, and we need the help of the Spirit of God. Billy Graham. Just a few more quotes from Billy Graham, and this is what Billy had to say about heaven. The most thrilling thing about heaven is that Jesus Christ will be there, and I will see him face to face. Jesus Christ will meet us at the end of life's journey. Heaven doesn't make this life less important. It makes it more important. The Bible says that as long as we are here on earth, we are strangers in a foreign land. There are enemies to be conquered before we return home. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And finally, the moment we take our last breath on earth, we take our first in heaven. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. The Last Patrol Radio Show is a production of Veterans Radio Ministries. Veterans Radio Ministries is a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. You can reach us by going to veteransradioministries.com. Again, that's veteransradioministries.com. If you'd like to contact us, please do so. Thank you for supporting and thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. Tell your friends about it, email your friends about it, text them, Twitter, tweet, whatever you do, but spread the word of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol.
We were proud to call him brother. We were proud of what he'd done. Would it have been any different if America had won? Not too late to thank him or tell him that you miss him. You can tell him that you love him. Touch his name upon the wall. One of a million unsung heroes, whose story forever goes untold. Left us low and numb, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with us.